is Yongzhou. I'm from Texas A&M. And at the beginning, I was hesitant to attend this meeting because it's a social science meeting. And my advisor, Dr. Barnes, said roots were also a very important component of soil in some way. So I tried my best to find a section to fit my presentation. And because my study site is subtropical savannah, so it's pretty close to this wetland soils. So my presentation is about fine roots distribution and landscape scale in a subtropical savanna. In water-limited arid and semi-arid environment, root distribution is very important because it decides the amount of the resource land plant can refer and also can play a very important role in determining the community composition. Here is a global review of root size and shapes of different plant life forms from arid environment. It shows that shrubs typically have larger size of root biomass than forks and grasses, and also shrubs generally have a deep root system. So studying root system might provide us very important information regarding plant dynamic or even soil biogeochemical cycling. However, most previous study about root distribution in savannah ecosystem just conduct at the ecosystem level. For example, they just sampled several soil cores under woody patches and several soil cores under grassland and compared their differences. And we are really interested to see how roots distribute across the landscape. And even there are a few studies that codify the spatial pattern of root distribution, and their result is focused on the surface soil. So it's really interesting to see how spatial patterns of root distribution change across the soil profile. So my research is basically trying to answer these two questions in a subtropic savanna ecosystem in southern Texas. In this area, woody plants, many honeymoon skates, have gradually encroached the grassland during the past 100 years. Here is an example. From 1950 to 1990, only like 40 years, the woody cover is almost doubled. So in order to study the root distribution across the landscape scale in this subtropical savanna ecosystem, we established a 100 meter by 160 meter plot. And there are three types of landscape elements. One is grassland, another is groove, and the other one is cluster. Grooves are the woody patches that have a canopy area bigger than 100 square meter, and the cluster are small woody patches and the canopy area is smaller than 100 square meter. And we further divided this plot into 10 meter by 10 meter grids. So each color of each grid was georeferenced. And after that, two random points were selected for sampling for each of these grids. And at each sample point, we sampled two soil cores down to 1.2 meter. And the further divided it into six horizon, six steps, 0 to 5, 5 to 15, and 15 to 30, 30 to 50, 50 to 80, and 80 to 120. And one soil core was used to determine the soil bulk density, and after that, roots were washed from the soil and dried for biomass. Roots were further divided into coarse roots and fine roots based on their diameter. And another soil core will be used to analyze soil organic carbon, and total nitrogen, total phosphorus, and also delta C13 and delta M15. So you see, totally we have 320 spatially located sample points, 320. And based on these spatially located sample points, we are able to make the correct maps of fine root biomass distribution for each soil depth, like there are 5 to 8 to 120 centimeter. And unexpectedly, then we find that fine root biomass decreased with increasing soil depths. So you see the hot color means high root biomass, and the cold color means non-root biomass in kilogram per cubic meter, and fine rule biomass decreased with increasing soil depth. For example, for the 0 to 5 centimeter, fine rule biomass range from around 1.5 under the grassland, you see this is grassland, and to more than 10 kilogram per cubic meter under woody patches. And go to the 80 to 100 centimeter, the deepest soil layers, the soil biomass was less than 0.3 under grassland and around 1.5 under woody patches. So that means the fine root biomass decreased with increasing soil depth. This is obvious. And another important result is that the spatial pattern of the fine root biomass for each soil depth. Fine root biomass was highest at the center of woody patches, so you see very high at the center of woody patches, and decreasing towards the canopy edge, and reaching the narrowest value at the grassland matrix. This spatial pattern was true for each of the soil depths. And this is further validated by the correlation between NDVI, normalized differences, vegetation index, with fine root biomass. So we find that in this landscape, grassland generally have a narrow NDVI than woody patches, either cluster or group. For example, the NDVI for grassland is around 0.2, and the NDVI for the woody patches, either cluster or group, is around 0.235. And we find that the fine root biomass was significantly positively correlated with NDVI. So which means we find that for each of the soil depths, so which means that the fine root biomass was higher under woody patches than grassland around this soil profile. However, when we look very closely to this critical map of fine root biomass, we will see some difference. And for example, when we look at 0 to 5 centimeter, the spatial pattern is very strong. Here's spatial pattern, I mean the difference between grassland and woody patches. So you see, and also we can use this word spatial heterogeneity. And you see the spatial pattern is very strong. And this spatial pattern is dissipated with increased soil depth. And especially for the 30 to 50 centimeter, you see this spatial pattern is almost lost. And the most interesting thing is that this spatial pattern reappeared again for the last two soil depths, 50 to 80 and 80 to 120, which means the spatial heterogeneity of fine root distribution around the soil profile is changed. And this is VLNC, and we also quantified this spatial heterogeneity using Nanclarity analysis. Nanclarity is the landscape matrix that used to quantify the spatial heterogeneity, which basically means a higher value of nanclarity indicates a more heterogeneous landscape. And after we quantify calculate the nanclarity values of each soil depth based on the correct map, we also find that the nanclarity values for 0 to 5, the first depth circle, and the second depth, 5 to 50 centimeter, the triangle, and also the six depths, 80 to 120 centimeter, the half square, was significantly higher than the intermediate levels, which basically means the fine root biomass spatial heterogeneity was higher for these three layers. So what the reason causes this change in spatial heterogeneity around the soil profile? So when we look at the error filter again, we can see that around 70% of this landscape is covered by grassland, and maybe around 25% is covered by growth, and the rest is covered by cluster, which means grassland and growth are the main component that decide the spatial pattern of the fine root biomass distribution across this landscape scale. And we also find that when average together, I will talk about this figure, but when average together, we find that the fine root biomass ratio of growth to grassland also decreases with increasing depths and increases again. For example, the 0 to 5, the fine root biomass ratio of growth to grassland is around 2.9, but this value decreased to 1.8 and 30 to 50 centimeter, and increased again to the 80 and 120 centimeter to 2.6. This might due to the root distributor characteristic of shrub and grass, because we know that grasses typically have a channel root system. Their roots might be just go to 50 centimeter, and past the 50 centimeter, there is almost no roots for grass. However, for shrubs and trees, because they have a deep root system, and past the 50 centimeter, they still have a significant amount of fine root biomass. So then the causes this ratio increase. And another reason might be due to the characteristic of the subsoil of this landscape. So this landscape is characterized by a continuous arsenic horizon, which means the clay concentrated horizon, and with non-arsenic inclusions. And the grassland is occur on this arsenic horizon, which starts around 40 centimeters. That is why we find that the spatial heterogeneity change around like 50 centimeters. And the woody patches, nutty woody patch groves, occupy these non-arsenic inclusions. Because non-arsenic inclusions, the soil is sandy and benefit the root penetrate. So our conclusion is that fine root biomass was higher on the woody patches around the soil profile, and the spatial heterogeneity of fine root distribution and landscape scale changes with soil depths. So what does this implicate? So think about we plot, we use the fine root biomass of grassland as reference, and we plot the relative proportion of fine root biomass of woody patches compared to grassland. So we find that the relative proportion was higher for the surface layer, where soil has higher nutrient availability. And also this proportion is higher and deep soil layers, where soil has typically has higher water availability. So which means that woody patches can acquire disproportionately more resources than herbaceous and facilitate their encroachment across this landscape scale. So this is my talk. If I have time, I will answer some questions. Yeah, for this study we didn't qualify like how canopy spread affect the root distribution. But previously we have a study that qualified the root extension from the woody patch. We found that the root extension is around like this is the canopy area. Root extension is kind of like around 4 meter, and past the 4 meter, there is almost no woody roots. But in this study, I didn't distinguish between the woody roots and herbaceous roots, so I can't answer your question about the like roots of the woody patch extension beyond the canopy edge. Yeah.
I'm interested in your spatial sampling design.
Yeah.
So I thought from your description that there was going to be a point.
Yeah, you see. Yeah, you see this random sample point, right? And because in each of this grid, we have two random points. Because each corner of the grid is georeferenced, so we measured the distance from the sample point to each corner, and based on mathematics, we can calculate this location of each of the sample points.
So you have some opportunities there that you wouldn't have with system S, first of all. I always ask you.
Yeah. This is a quick
map.
Well,
that's the map, the 3D map. And you can
yeah.
Use the information about the. You could make those same maps even if it were a systematic grid.
Yeah, I use this special located point to make this the quick map.
So I guess my question is, are there advantages to not doing it on a systematic grid? Because I always tell my people to do it systematic. Why did you decide to do it randomly?
Yeah, maybe we just want to reduce the balance, so we randomly select these points, not systematically. And because based on previous studies, we also have some systematically snaked points, like we sampled some soil cores, like 1 meter, sampled some soil cores inside the woody patch, and also some soil cores 1 meter from the center, and then like this systematically. But based on, because we want to make some quick example, so in this study we use some random sampled points. This will bias, will reduce the bias of sampling. So I'm not sure I answered your question or not. Okay, thank you.